here again tonight to talk about the wonderful things of God, to think about Jesus and growing up into the fullness of our Lord and Savior, to learn more about Him. Bill was telling me today that he said he had about 1,400 tapes now that he could let out to the people. And I know that we've got quite a number of more tapes. They've not been reproduced. They're in Brother Taylor's office, whereas I ask them to continually reproduce some of them until they have them on the little tapes. With the regularity, we need to reproduce them. I want to read something from the 28th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, if you've got your Bibles. Jeremiah, a great prophet, really cared for God and the people of God, and he tried his best to do the right thing. You know, there's one thing that we all ought to try to do, and that's the very best we can for God's people. Try to do the right thing. Teach the people to honor the Lord Jesus, to love the Lord Jesus, and to trust in the Lord Jesus. This we ought to do. It's a dangerous thing to do anything else. It's a very dangerous thing to come between the gospel and Christ. It came to pass the same year in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azar, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the Lord shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of two full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off of the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. Well, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off of the face of the earth this year. Thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. You know, I want you to notice something here. First, I'd like for you to notice the outlook of the prophet Jeremiah. Just think now the way that Jeremiah approached this situation. It's really something, the attitude that Jeremiah had toward this situation. He listened to the words of Hananiah, and as the prophet spoke, saying, Thus saith the Lord, God will break the yoke. He He listened very carefully, and then he rose up. He didn't contest it. He didn't contest it at all. He just stood up and said, so be it. So be it. That is, praise the Lord. I hope it comes to pass, because I'd love to see the people return home. He didn't come against him at all. One reason is he didn't have a word from the Lord on him at that particular moment. But see, he had given the prophecy, and the prophecy from the prophet had said that they shall be in bondage and servitude for 70 years. So then, here this prophet rises up and he says what he does. Jeremiah didn't come against it at all. He said, well, so be it, you know. That is, amen, let it be. If that's the way it's to be, well, let it be. I'll be glad to see God's people out of bondage. So then, Jeremiah continued on to say, now, when this comes to pass, then we'll know that Hananiah has prophesied the truth. In other words, if it comes to pass, we'll know it. He said, all prophets that have spoken in time past, we watch for the fulfillment of it. And then it came to pass, and thus saith the Lord, you know, as it was from the prophets, came to pass. He said, so then, if this comes to pass, then we'll know that Hananiah is the prophet among us. And it upset the prophet Hananiah. So he just reached over and took the wooden yoke from Jeremiah, just broke it and said, thus saith the Lord, it'll come to pass. So Jeremiah, he went his way. He didn't fight with him. He didn't try to have a contest with him. He didn't try to prove him to be a false prophet. He just went his way. And then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, go tell that prophet he's a false prophet. Well, that is, go tell him that since he broke the yoke of wood, I'll put a yoke of iron upon their neck, and we'll see if his prophecy comes to pass. Thus saith the Lord, they will continue to serve in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, for I've given him power over all the people and over the beast. And said Hananiah, because thou hast been protruding and presumptuous, and said that which was not true, then thou shalt die. And so then it came to pass, just exactly like Jeremiah said. You can check the scriptures out a little farther, and you'll find out that it came to pass exactly the way that Jeremiah spoke it. But God helped them there until the time was fulfilled according to the prophecy, and that the prophet that prophesied contrary to it died. This makes me to know that there is a word from God, and that then there is a word of error. God gives us a word, and then Satan will give a word. But there is a word of truth and a spirit of truth, and then there is a spirit of error that's in the world today. The Bible said that God hath not given us the spirit of error. So then when error comes forth, God didn't give it to us. If we speak in error, if we prophesy in error, God didn't give us that kind of thing. So then it is God's way to give us the spirit of truth. I have the spirit of truth. I speak by the spirit of truth. And if I speak by the spirit of truth, I will speak in favor of God's word. See, it's obvious here that Hananiah did not speak in favor of God's word. If Hananiah had spoken in favor of God's word, would not God have brought it to pass? But see, Hananiah did not speak in favor of God's word, and it upset God. So then God said, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast been contrary, and because thou hast spoken error, then thou shalt die. So it is necessary that Brother Pike, Brother Taylor, Brother Jim, or any other brother or preacher or whatever that comes through here that stands behind the sacred desk, it is necessary that they speak in harmony with the word of God. It is necessary that every woman here that speaks in the name of the Lord speaks in harmony with the word of God. When you speak, you must speak in harmony with the word of God, or you are speaking with the spirit of error. For when you speak in harmony with God, then your words come to pass. When you speak in line with the word of God, then your words come to pass. And then, on the other hand, when you speak presumptuously and do the thing that you want to do and speak the way you want to speak, you find yourself facing a situation of embarrassment and fear, realizing that you've done presumptuously and that you have meddled with the great and mighty word of the greatest King of all kings. And you find yourself in trouble Because you have done that which has been contrary to the name of the Lord and the word of the Lord, you have his wrath upon you, and you find that you have been like a little child and you've done foolish things, and you put yourself in a position that God didn't call you to, and you've spoken in a name that God did not tell you to speak in, and you find yourself in a bad situation. So then it is a fearful thing, as Brother Taylor said earlier, when we fall into the hands of a living God, and they that come to knowledge, they have fallen into the hands of a living God. When a person comes to knowledge, when a person comes to know, when a person knows what's right and wrong, they have fallen into the hands of a living God. It is a foolish thing for me to go around, or you to go around, grabbing somebody and making jokes, saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Making joke and going around and shaking, said, "Brother, God told me to tell you." That's a foolish thing. That's the way to sign your own death warrant, and that's the way to wind up out of the presence of God, because it is a serious thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It is a serious thing to say, "Thus saith the Lord." It is a serious thing to take God's word and begin to say, "God said." Let me tell you, it's a serious thing to start broadcasting or publicizing saying, "Thus saith the President of the United States." It's a serious thing to do that, because you can be pulled into court, into the Supreme Court of the United States, and the things that you speak of can be counted treason, and you'll find yourself in a terrible predicament. And so it is with God. When you lightheartedly speak in the name of the Lord and you consider yourself to be a prophet, you consider yourself to be a man of God or a preacher, whatever. Did you know there is hundreds of people in the world today, preachers, that is, across the world, in every part of the world, especially in America, that's got tents, that's preaching, that's going across the world, and they're saying, "Thus saith the Lord, God said," and God didn't send them, God didn't speak to them. They don't have anything from God. They've never been with God long enough to have anything from God. They just have a zeal and they want to do something, and so they go out and they begin to say things. And the Bible said they went, "But I did not send them." Said, "He that God sendeth will speak God's word." And so then they go out with their ideas and they go out with their enthusiasm. Then they go out to reproach the gospel and to cause problems. And what a sad situation that is. Some of them are nothing but babies. Some of them are nothing but novice. Some of them are lifted up with pride. Some of them are doing things that they don't even have any idea what they're doing. And they're making shipwreck many people. And they're causing a lot of problem in the kingdom of God, because they've not listened to God. They've not been with God. They don't know God. They haven't heard the word of God. But they're zealous. They'll jump up in the services and say, "Thus saith the Lord. The Lord said." When God hasn't spoken anything, just because they feel inspired in that they feel they want to say something, they jump up and prophesy when God hasn't said anything. But let me tell you, God does have a word, and God does have a spirit that he sends into the earth, the word of prophecy. But God doesn't send it just by anybody. The Bible said that God gives the spirit to them that obey him. And they that do the prophesying for God are those that obey God, and those that honor God, and those that love God, and those that live clean, and those that live holy. The Bible said, "He that beareth the vessel of God, let him depart from iniquity." If a person's going to be holy, then they can be God's people. If they're not going to be holy, they are not God's people. And though the world today is in a general mess, and God has tolerated it, in that there are a lot of babies in the world, yet God is upset over the situation, and God is calling men's hands over the situation. God's calling women's hands over the situation. God's beginning to get more disturbed and more disturbed, because maturity is coming. And God knows that they know better than to do that, that they're not children anymore. So then God is greatly disturbed over the things that's happening today. All of these prophecies of "Thus saith the Lord," and these prophecies that God has sent me, and these things that preachers are preaching saying, "God told me to go to preach." God is upset over those things, and God's greatly disturbed. So then is the case here. There rose up a preacher, and he stood in the midst of the people. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, God will do such and such and such." And it angered God, and it upset God, and God sent a real prophet.
And the prophet stood in the midst of the people and said, "Thus saith the Lord, that's not right." And in that he said, "Because thou hast been presumptuous, God shall deal with thee." So then, people, tonight we are growing up. We've got to come to the understanding that we're growing up. And whereas in times past people have said what they wanted to say to each other, and they've discussed God over a cup of coffee and over a cookie and in their backbiting and taking apart and adding to and taking away, they have brought the plagues of God upon them. Even the whole world has done it. Now it's come the hour of the judgment of God, and God is disturbed over it. God is upset over it. Upset over the playing and the foolishness. It's brought the plagues of God upon their dwellings and upon their bodies and upon their spirits and upon their minds, and they're vexed all the day long. And destruction is set in every way. And people are being destroyed by the hundreds and the thousands across the world, because the great hour of the judgment of God has come. I know within my heart there is the word of truth. I've heard from heaven. I've heard from God. I've heard the word of truth. God has spoken it to me. He has told me what to do, and he's told me his plan and his program. And God has smiled upon me, and God has loved me and helped me. But I also know there's a spirit of error in the world that tries to mislead me. And there's a spirit of error in the world that tries to mislead you. And there's a spirit of error in the world that tries to mislead the people. And God didn't give that spirit. That's the spirit of the evil one. And when we listen to that kind of spirit, it upsets God. There, as I say, the leeches in the world. They want to get everything they can from God and from the church world, and everything they can from God's people, and they never have any feelings at all about doing anything for God. Always their feeling is what God is going to give them, or God's people is going to give them. That's a cruel sort of a people. They don't want to give anything to the hungry, to feed a little oftener, to take care of them. They want God to take care of them, and they want God's people to take care of them. A lot of them, it's sad to say, when they go to do anything, if they do anything, they do it to where they can be seen. And they want everybody to know it, and they want to do things personally, away from God, and out of the coordination of God, and they don't get any return on it. They don't get any blessing on it. Or they want to slip around and do it in another way, away from God. They want to do it as one relative to another relative, or one friend to another friend, or as one idea to another idea, and it upsets God. Because God has a plan, and God has a program, and God doesn't commission people to go outside of that program and set up their own program and do their own thing. God has one program. He has the word of God. He doesn't commission people to go outside of that thing and do things and do what they want to do and exchange offerings and gifts and do what they want to among the relatives and the friends and whoever they want to. God has a program. God doesn't have a program where you cheat and swindle and take away from God and do everything contrary to God and then expect God to take care of you. God has no such program. God gives the Spirit to them that obey Him. If you obey God, then God gives you the Spirit. If you obey God, then God walks with you and God talks with you and God tells you His program. But I tell you this again, you can't go out into the world and do the things of the world and be worldly and then come back into the presence of God, eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. You can't go out into the world and keep your mind on the things of the world and then go around saying, "Thus saith the Lord." I repeat this again. One man that came to be in our midst, I told him, I said, "You better get your mind off of the world. You got your mind on the world and you're still trying to say, 'Thus saith the Lord.' In one of these days, you're going to run into the problems with God." And so he did. He said, "Thus saith the Lord." And it went just exactly opposite of what he said. And the people he prophesied the blessings upon, the terrors and heartaches and sorrows and misery, even to the point of death, came upon them. And he came to me all tore up about it. And I told him, I said, "You can't do that. You can't be in the world. Do the things of the world and keep your mind on the world. And every day going out into the things of the world and still be a man of God. You may think that you are a man of God. And you may think that you are a woman of God, going around all day long keeping your minds on the things of the world. But I want you to know you're not a man of God and you're not a woman of God. God hasn't spoke to you at all. So then, the people that love God, the people that walk in the ways of God, the people that pray, the people that fast, the people that surrender, they're all to God. The people that have no other program and no other plan but to serve God, these people God has spoken to. That's God's body. That's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But folks, we're living in the days of error. We're living in the time of the spirit of error. We're living in the time of the spirit of Antichrist. We're living in that moment when people are being deceived by the multitudes across the world. We go into India, and the first thing they tell us in India, Brother Pike, give us the word of the Lord. Said, we've heard so many things where people said it was the word of the Lord, and it's not the word of the Lord. We go into Israel, and people say, Brother Pike, give us the word of the Lord. We've heard, thus saith the Lord, and it didn't come to pass, and it wasn't God. And we're all mixed up, and we've got problems, Brother Pike. And everywhere around the world, they say to the real men of God, give us the word of God. Let us hear the word of God. Let us know what God is doing. But you know, we've got it in our mind that in America, that in Israel, that in India, around the world, we've got it in our mind that everywhere people are saying, thus saith the Lord, and it's God doing it. But it's not. It's not. It's not that at all. Around the world, it's not that at all. As a matter of fact, every place that we've been privileged to go where other men have gone, in many cases there's been false teachers and false prophets and all kind of people that have gone into the area, and the people are all tore up and you can't hardly even get them to work with you because they're so mixed up. But then when they find the word of God and they find out it is the word of the Lord, then they press in with holy vigor and concern. And they say, my God, it is the word of God. It is coming to pass. This is real. I understand something I never understood before. I can just tell, they say, this thing that my mind has never been open to. All of a sudden, I can see that this is God. And it brings the great, wonderful blessings of God. It brings forth fruit. It brings forth the understanding of Christ. And people depart from iniquity. The Bible said, if these men had stood in my presence, those that went to preach to the people, then the people would have departed from their iniquity. But inasmuch as the people have not departed from their iniquity, but grown stronger in their iniquity, it's evident that God did not send these people. It's evident that God did not speak to them in that they're practicing more evil than ever before. And they're more entangled in the things of the world than ever before. It's very evident that God did not speak to those people because they did not deliver the people, but preach deliverance to them. The Bible said while they promised these people deliverance and they promised these people liberty, they themselves are the children of the bondage of corruption. So then God spoke a word from Jeremiah and said, thus saith the Lord, there isn't going to be any deliverance, Jeremiah. This false prophet that said there would be deliverance, there isn't going to be any deliverance, and especially at the hand of Hananiah, whom God apparently despised and rejected. So he said, Jeremiah, there isn't going to be any deliverance. But I've got a word for you, Jeremiah. And the word is that they're going to be in captivity because of their evil and because they've listened to Hananiah. Because they didn't listen to the word of God and because of the unbelief that was toward the word of God and God's prophets. They're going to continue in Babylonian captivity. And they're going to grow greater and greater in captivity and the strength of that which is not like Christ until God will spew them out of his mouth. All of my tables are filled with vomit, God said. I'll spew you out of my mouth because you are a religious, lukewarm people that won't seek God, that has no time for God, that has no time for God's program. I will spew thee out of my mouth, and all of my tables will be filled with vomit. For you cannot eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. So then Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, they will not come out of captivity. And Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, they will not come out of captivity. But Hananiah, thou hast spoken a lie, and because thou hast lied, God will destroy thee. And so it was that the wrath of God come upon Hananiah. Jeremiah said, Hananiah, thou hast lied to the people. And the words of Jeremiah came to pass, and the words of the evil one Hananiah was cut off. I love to speak the word of God, and I love to say the things of God. And I watch the cunningness of many people that come to me. They'll say, Brother Pike, give me a word from God. Tell me, Brother Pike. I know that you know, Brother Pike. I think you hypocrite. I know what you're doing, and I know you're laying wait for me. And you'd like for me to speak presumptuously, and you'd like for me to say something so that I could be entangled with the evils of this world. You'd left me to get lifted up in myself so that I would say something that you might trap me. You know, Brother Pike, you tell us, Brother Pike. And then occasionally I hear somebody that comes and they say, Brother Pike, I need help. Or I'd love to know what this thing is about. Do you have anything from God? Have you talked with the Lord? Has he told you anything? Can you tell me anything at all? People that are sober and sincere that would really like to know. And I see people toy around with God and toy around with the Word of God, and everything that happens, they'll say, tell us what it is, Brother Pike. And I think you hypocrite, I know what you're doing. You know, you'd love for me to presumptuously speak. You know, God has been good to me, and I've watched the Lord, and I've talked with the Lord, and even on the spur of the moment when they ask, I'd say, Lord, you give them the Word, you tell them the right thing, you let them know. And I've told them many times by the word of the Lord to confound them because of their foolishness. But folks, God's word doesn't come like that, and God's prophets doesn't speak like that. They don't just go around, you know, just saying something all the time about something to try to tell you what it is. Though they might know what it is, they're not going to go around trying to tell you all the time. So then there's times when they speak to you in the name of the Lord. There's times when they're trying to help you in the name of the Lord. But when you act like a little child and you act foolish and you're just always trying to get them to say something so that you can find out something, you know, to get against them or take up a reproach against them or to find out something to trap them in their words. They did the same thing to Jesus. When you do that, it upsets God. It upsets God's ministry. God wants us to speak sober words, and God wants us to be sober. And any time you find a foolish person, a person that just goes around with foolishness, God hasn't spoke anything to that person. That person is just foolish, and that's what it is. There is no word of God with them. God has sober people. God has holy people. God has godly people. And the Bible said the very thoughts of foolishness is sin, and the person that does those evil things are sinful and rejected of God, and they have no eternal life. They do not have the Holy Spirit. If a person like that had the Holy Spirit, the whole church would be corrupted in the sense that God had made allowance for evil. But God doesn't make allowance for evil, therefore the Holy Spirit does not dwell in an unclean temple. God does not dwell in an unclean temple. God does not encourage a person in prophecy or in any kind of gift that has an unclean temple. You say, well, Brother Pike, why is it that these people say things? Why is it that things take place? Why is it that something happens? God said, let it be known unto you, O Israel, if I send a person among you and they happen to say something that comes to pass, and they're not of God, then you know that God is trying the people. You know that God is trying you in the days of grace, in that the blood is on the seat of atonement. People are saying things and God is trying the people. Because grace is up there, the righteousness of Jesus Christ prevails. And occasionally something happens and we say, God said it, he said it, he's the prophet. I know because he said it and it came to pass. But God is trying the people. God doesn't have any people that messes around with devils and witches and foreign things. God doesn't have any people like that. People that mess with those things are of the devil. When people mess with that which is bewitching and that which is evil, they are of the devil. I would be afraid to even look upon things that some of them look upon. I'd be afraid to even listen at it. I'd be afraid for somebody to put it in my ears. A lot of times people come to me saying things, and when they say those things, I say, my God, close my ears, God. I don't want to hear that, because that's of the devil, and that will defile me. I don't want to hear it, God. I want to try to reach this soul and do what I can, so I close my ears to it. And though I look right in their face, and though I listen in the sense of them thinking that I paid attention to what they've said, I haven't paid any attention to what they've said, because I don't want the garbage in my ears. I don't want to defile myself. I don't want to hear those kind of things. People that do those things are of the devil. The Bible says for you to flee those things. And when it comes to following after riches, I made mention of this last night. The Bible said, thou man of God, flee these things. Don't follow after riches. Following after these things, many have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Don't you do this. You flee those things and you follow after eternal life and you follow after the faith of Christ and you follow after those things that are godly and those things that are holy and stay away from those things. I read people a number of times. They said, God told me he's going to make me rich. God's going to give me money. And I thought, how foolish you are. How foolish you are to listen to voices that talk about making you rich and going to give you money. When God told you to flee those things, God said, I'll add to you what I want you to have. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. God doesn't have to go around saying, I'm going to make you rich. Satan is the one that goes around saying, follow me and do this, and we can do that, and we've got jobs, and we can make money. My, we can get rich. We can give something to the church, the devil says. He knows he isn't going to give anything to the church. The same individual that's listening to that voice wouldn't hardly share a dollar with the church. You know, if I had $1,000, what I would do for the church, you're not going to do anything for the church. What you do for the church, you'll do with what you've got, just like the widow with her two mites, or you just don't have it in you to do anything. So then, whatever you are is manifested, and the world sees it. If you're going to do anything for God, you'll do it. You'll share what you got. And then when you get more, you'll share it. And until you get to that place, you're not going to do anything. So then listening at voices, it says, God's going to make me rich. And somebody says, yay, my brother, sister, lay hands on you and prophesy. God said he's going to make you rich. I know that God will say that I'll give you riches. I'll bless you. I understand that. But this thing of practice and prosperity and God's going to make you rich and this one, if you'll just give me $10, $50, I need $30, you give to me and God will make you rich. I tell you what, I don't care who you give to, you're going to have some rough days. Did you know that? If you are a child of God, I don't care whether you give to Brother Pike or whoever you give to, you're going to have some rough days because God chasteneth every son that cometh unto him. The Bible said every son that cometh to God, he chasten him first. God is going to chasten you and you're going to have some rough days. You're going to build your faith. You're going to learn to believe in God. God isn't just going to pour out heaven on you. You're going to learn to believe God. But I tell you this, if you'll settle down with God and do the right thing and follow Christ, then after a while you will get faith in God and you will be blessed in God and you will be entire in God and you will be complete in God and God will give you the desires of your heart. Brother and sister, running around after riches and these kind of things and the false prophecies of the world, you're going to find that God isn't going to be in it. All of this that comes forth contrary to God's word, it teaches the people rebellion. And God said through Jeremiah to Hananiah, said, because thou hast taught the people to rebel, because you have taught the people rebellion against God's word and against the right word of prophecy, said, because of this thou shalt surely die, Hananiah. And so then Hananiah gave up the ghost. He died. God took him away because of his false prophecy. This is why that we're trying to be so careful in speaking to you. The prophet that preaches, or that which speaks presumptuously, the Bible said that prophet shall die. So then we don't need to be speaking a word presumptuously. We don't need to teach the people rebellion. We don't need to be contrary to God. We need to teach the people the right word of God. A lot of times people don't like Brother Pike and they don't like true ministers of God. Because Paul said, we preach the truth to you, we tell you the truth, and you don't like it because it causes you to have to overcome self. And in doing that, you don't like it, but nevertheless, it's still the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord still comes to pass. I tell you people that are young people, the young girls and boys, many of you here at Bethlehem are in bad rebellion against your parents. And you're in bad rebellion against God, and you're doing things secretly, out of order, contrary to God. You are in rebellion, and God's going to get you for that. Because you are old enough to know better. Some of these that come in and out that's leeching on the church. Continually leeching. Can't be a real man and woman to try to give to God. Always wanting to take from God. God's going to get you for your foolishness. That's a cunning way of going through life, conning people. And it's bad enough to con people, but brother, it's terrible when you con God's people. When you begin to con God's people, then that is what the world calls the last straw. Acting poor, acting like you can't make it, acting like you don't have it, acting like there's no way to get it. Yet a spendthrift all the time. Spending all the time. In the very moment you get in a little tight, you run to the brotherhood. You run to the people. Got to have help. Got to have help. What's wrong with you? Well, we just don't have enough. You know why you don't have enough? Because you're gullible. Because you spend it on your own flesh. You throw it away. You do away with it because you figure you can leech off of God's people. That's why you do it. See, but God doesn't like that. God doesn't want that. You enrage God. You upset God because God's got hungry people. Like I was telling Brother John Jameson, I believe it was yesterday, he and I were having a discussion. And I was telling John how repulsive it is to me for those that want to be a teacher every time they find out there's a little money in it. I can't hardly stand to be with those kind of people. Every time they find out there's a dollar in something, they want to take part in it. But when there's no money in it, they want to leave it to the others. That's bad. Same way on the home front. Give them money, they're ready to work. If you don't give them money, then they're ready to pout. See, God doesn't like that kind of thing. I know that don't set right, but I say it anyway. Over and over I say it, because it's true. You're guilty of it. That's why I say it. So then we have those that come among us. And they come among us to do those evil things and to do those wretched things. And they're watching of how they can take the people of God in and leech off of the people of God. The people of God struggle and they work and they try to pay their bills and they try to be honest and they try to be straight and they try not to reproach God and God's house and they try to do everything they can. But the leeches are watching for the good days and the goodies so they can get a hold of them. They used to call it getting on the bandwagon. So then, God isn't pleased with it. God isn't pleased with somebody that's always out of money, somebody that's always needing a helping hand in the sense that they're not doing nothing for God, but just spending and just roaming around and just going from place to place, and every time they get a little bit hungry, though they might have $50 in their pocket. I've seen them when they had money in their pocket. I know that they had money in their pocket because I've given to a number of them. And I knew at the very time that they were doing their evil that they had money in their pocket, because I'd given it to them, and I saw them stand there and leech off of others and say things to others and act like they didn't have nothing and didn't know what they were going to do when I happened to know that they knew what they was going to do. They were just trying to take somebody in. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Say, what kind of person is that, Brother Pike? You've got good understanding. I don't have to explain it. Now then, what do we need? We need the word of the Lord. We need the truth of God. We need people that's going to do right. We need holy folks. The Bible said if you spare any of these other kind, there'll be a prick in your side. Every way that you turn, they'll be in your way. Every time you turn around, they've got to have something. Let me tell you something. As I told Brother John the other night, I said, John, I don't mind giving to hungry people. I said, people that are hungry, even though they might be worthless, even though they might have done wretched, I said, I still don't mind sharing with them. Because if a person's hungry, they're hungry. I said, but I can't stand to have to give to people that are evil and wretched, that want to leech off of God's people, that are working their cunning little tricks. God give to them because the rain comes on the just and the unjust. Like God, I'm angry with the wicked every day. He said, I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from all over the face of the earth. I can't stand to see them standing there, taking a bite out of a little baby's mouth, or taking something away from a little hungry child, somebody that I know that's starving and hungry that needs help, and they're standing there like a brute beast, gullible, taking everything that comes along. Won't hit a lick, as the old saying goes, at nothing, won't help with nothing, won't work, won't do nothing, won't work on a job, won't work around Bethlehem, won't share with nobody. You know, that's an evil person. But a person that's hungry, even though they're wretched, if I know that they're hungry, if I know that they're wretched, I still have compassion and I want to help them. But cunning people that are filled to the full, that don't need nothing, just laying around like an old snake in the grass to bite and cause trouble, cause problems, and always up and down and in and out. And always saying, I don't understand what Brother Pike is preaching. I don't understand this. He hurt my feelings. I think I'll leave. You know you need to. The quicker the better. I think I'll leave because that brother hurt my feelings and he said something to me. I'll tell you, if he didn't say something to you, God would get him. The Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. If he didn't run his sword through you, as wretched as you are, God would get him. So then you need to raise up. And as Moses said, strap your sword on your side. And every man that's for God, run it through his fellow when this evil thing happens. And do the thing that God commanded, to love the Lord and tear away the golden calf. And get back to God and let's think about God and think about the things of God. Let the man Moses come down from the mountain with the revelation of God. Let the hidden manna be given to us and let our cups run over. And let us be holy people before God. Godly and holy people before God. And let those that are born of God and those that love God and those that are vessels of God, let them be holy and let them depart from iniquity and let them give us the word of the Lord. Then everything will be all right, folks. But as long as the church is playing games, doing the things that they're doing, there isn't going to be any peace for God's, nor for God's people, nor for anything else in the sense that God feels our infirmities. There isn't going to be any peace. But when we rise up like Jeremiah and say, thus saith the Lord, Hananiah, because thou hast prophesied presumptuously and contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ, then thou shalt surely be taken away. Let us rise up. Let us do something for the people. What are we here for? I made this statement today and I believe it with all of my heart. I wouldn't give you 15 cents for life, all that life has to offer in this world, without Jesus. I wouldn't give you 15 cents for it. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you wouldn't. I wouldn't. My 15 cents would be better to me. If you get this life in this world, all you've got is a few days and full of trouble. If you've got 15 cents, at least you've got 15 cents that you can use for something beneficial. But this life without Jesus is but a few days. And then it's filled with trouble. People that don't serve God don't have any life. It's a living misery. And I don't want any more of that. I got enough of that. I don't want any more of that. You can have all of that. You can have every bit of it. There is such a thing as having God, and in having God you have life. In having Christ you have life. In having the word of the Lord you have life. In walking with the Lord Jesus Christ you find peace and you find happiness and you find life. But folks, we might as well to come to the understanding that you cannot be in the world out there and be in God. He that seeks to save his life in this world, how many times have I spoken it? The Bible said he shall lose that life. That is eternal. If a man seeks to save his life in this world, he shall lose that life. That is eternal. And if a man is willing to yield up this life for God, die to his own self and overcome self, then he can eat of the hidden manna and he can stay alive forever. He can have eternal life in the eternal blessings of God. But you can't hold on to the world and hold on to God. You can't go around all day long with your mind on the world and then come around once in a while to the brotherhood just to make yourself feel comfortable, to make yourself feel like you're part of the brotherhood. You know, that's a hideous thing. Go all the time, everywhere, all the time. Never give any time to God and to the brotherhood, and then come running back for just a few hours to make yourself feel the consolating thought. In order to have the consolating thought that you belong to the brotherhood. You don't belong to the brotherhood. You don't belong to the brotherhood. How could you belong to the brotherhood? You're everywhere but with the brotherhood. I made this statement today. Now, I was telling some of them, you know, you go out in the world and you make your friends of the unrighteous mammon. You go out there and you take up time with those people out there. And you get more acquainted with those people out there. And you relate more to those people out there. And you get the understanding of those people out there. And you record or reflect the minds of those that are out there. And then you come back over here and you don't relate to the brethren at all. And you don't relate to what God wanting to do. And you don't relate to the preacher. You come back, you can't relate to him at all. There is a distance between you. You don't relate to God anymore. You don't relate to the preacher. Why? Because all of your thinking, all of your mind is programmed with the things of this world and with the people that are out there in the world. And so then you're of the world and you're like the world and you enjoy the world and you want to fellowship the world. And your enjoyment is talking to them that are out there in the world. Because you're not heavenly minded. You're not godly minded. You're not spiritually minded. Things of the Spirit, things of God, things that are holy, things of the world to come. They don't interest you. You don't have any interest in them. Because you don't spend any time with them. You don't spend any time thinking on them. You just go out into the world and all of your treasures are in this world. Where is your heart? Your heart is down here in this world with your wife, with your children, with your substance, that which you bought, that which you put in the bank, your businesses and that which you bought for your businesses and your plans in this world. All of your desire is in this world and your love is in this world because all of your treasure is in this world. And brother, when you lay up treasures in heaven and you get your mind on God and you forsake the world and you forget about the wife and the children and everybody else, and like Abraham, you lay your son on the altar for God and forget about him. And you do like Peter did when he walked off and left his wife to do the will of God. I don't mean run off and leave your wife and not take care of your family. But I mean get your mind off of your wife. Get your mind on God. There's coming a time when you're not going to have a wife anyway. Somebody said, just wait till we get over yonder. We'll have a good time with all of our wives and husbands. There ain't going to be no such. The Bible said in heaven they neither marry nor given in marriage. They're as the angels. There isn't going to be any wife and husband over there. You might as well get used to the idea right now. So then, what is the true word of God? The true word of God is that you must come out from among them and be a separate people. You must come out from among the world. You've got to leave those minds alone. You've got to spend, rather than just an hour or two with the brethren and the rest of the day with them, you've got to spend an hour or two with them and the rest of the day with the brethren. Somebody said, well, I can't do that, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, you can do it if you will do it. Somebody said, but my business. Your business is running up and down the road and stopping and talking and visiting and going everywhere else. I done been with the numbers of you. I know what your business is. It's what the world calls monkey business. You're not doing anything. You know what a monkey hangs by his tails and he just swings to and fro? He's not doing anything. It's monkey business. See, you're not doing anything at all. And your wife, she thinks you're out there making her a living, and consequently you do. You make her a living, but most of it comes over the telephone, or most of it comes through somebody, and you're just riding around out there eating and drinking and talking and visiting. You're not working. Somebody said, you don't know how hard I work. Yes, I do know how hard you work, because I done been with you on some working days. And me and you didn't do nothing. That's just a special day when I rode around with you. Well, what about the special day when you rode around with the others that talked to me? There's a whole bunch of special days and special people that told me about it. See, so folks, let's be realistic now. See, we're not doing all that much, are we? Some of these fellows that work around here, that actually work around here and work hard here, put in steady hours on a job and make a good living, and still spend hours around this place. I might just say, praise the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to say this before I close. We got a bunch of melancholy people. They're just so melancholy in the morning when I need some help. That's going to take a little effort. And just as quick as the morning is gone and I don't need the help, their melancholiness is gone and they feel so good. But they can just melancholy themselves out of work for days. Somebody say, praise the Lord. They feel so melancholy. You know, that is terrible, isn't it? Anytime we use a crutch to do that, we feel so terrible. There's some women that they pound and they're hateful and they're contrary. As long as Brother Pike needs their husband, they're just as contrary as they can be. And just as quick as I get to where I don't need their husband, then the contrary spirit lives. And here comes their husband. And then there's husbands that uses their wife for a crutch, an excuse of saying, well, my wife this and my wife that. I have quite a number of them at Bethlehem. They're always coming to me and saying, well, Brother Pike, I want to, but my wife. And later on, the wife just happens to come around to talk to Sister Betty. And I may happen to step in the kitchen. I listen and I find out, I hear them saying, you know, Sister Pike, I wish my husband would go do something over there. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The Bible said a little bird shall care the matter. I think, well, my, they don't agree with what he told me. You understand what I'm saying, folks? So then let's be realistic. Let's get down to business for God and let's do something for the Lord. If you want to work for God, all right. If you want to lie, that's all right. But let's just be one or the other. Let's just work for God or just lie about it. Go online and meet our reward at the end of the way. So then God said, Hananiah, you are a liar. Your words are that of a liar. God is not going to deliver Israel. Not yet. God is a day of deliverance, but your message of deliverance is false. God isn't going to deliver. Woe unto that man that calls light darkness and darkness light. Woe unto that man that saith, God said, howbeit when I have not spoken. Woe unto the presumptuous prophet that shall die because of his evil. So then what should we do? We should tell the truth. We are children of the truth. We go to bear witness of the truth. Should we then be foolish people and do foolish things and act all out of sauce? Does charity behave itself unseemingly? Let's be men of God. Let's be women of God. Let's be sober. Tomorrow's another day, folks. When you wake up in the morning, wake up thinking about Jesus. Think about what you're going to do for God. You people that are so busy that you can't get to men's meeting, repent and pray through and get a little bit of God in your heart. And you'll find out that you can lay down the paintbrush or leave off with the hammer or the last roll of paper or whatever you're doing, and you can get to church on time. That is to say, at least get to the men's meeting, come around in time to be partakers of what we're doing. I know I'm late for men's meeting sometimes, and I'm late for church numbers of times, sometimes purposely, as I said the other day, that I might not get entangled. And tonight, I wasn't late on purpose. I don't know whether they changed the time or what they did, but my wife was disturbed. She said the clock stopped or something. I don't know what it was, but anyway, we was late coming to church. But that's no excuse, you know. If the clock falls off the wall, that ain't no excuse. We come to church enough to just about know the time. But whatever, we need to do something for God, and we need to get involved in something that's being done in Bethlehem. And somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I'm just not convicted, and I just don't know whether it's right or not. Well, bless your heart, it's time you moved away. You've done had your chance to prove it. Move off now. Let somebody move in your place and give them a chance to prove it. See, if you took all that time, it's for sure that you ain't going to learn if you stay here longer. So let's get together and let's try to do something for God. I don't ask you to get out there and slave and labor. I don't ask you to do that. I'm just hiring you to put you in the vineyard. The Bible said some standing idle in the marketplace to go out and hire them and put them in the vineyard and I'll pay them. I'm not asking you to do something for me. I'm asking you to do something for God and something for your soul. And if you don't believe it's of God, you don't believe it's for your soul, for the sake of Christ, don't do it. Stay away from it if you don't believe it. Because you're going to be partakers of evil, if that's what it is, and you're going to bid at God's speed, and God's going to punish you, just like he'll punish me if it's wrong. But if it's of God, and you believe it's of God, then get in and give me a helping hand. Work with me, let's do something, and stop our mumbling and grumbling. Stop our fault finding, stop our excuses. I know that I preached enough sermons that you ought to know by now your excuse and your wrong and your fault. And if you're ever going to do anything about it, I believe you'll do it now. And I believe that if you don't do it, God's going to move you out of our midst and God's going to move you away. God's going to let an ill wind blow you away. And if you don't do it, God's going to change your whole situation of life. And God's going to replace you with somebody that will do it. He promised that he would do it. I want you to stand with me. I know of a brother that come into men's meeting late, real late. Every night, real late. And I told some of them, I said, that man is not right with God, or he'd get here at least some within the neighborhood of sometimes on time. That man today is backslid. That man has said terrible things. That man is contrary. That man's family is out in the cesspools of iniquity. That man is going down fast to destruction. Somebody said, well, I know about that. I know about that. But did you know about that before it ever happened? The child is known by doing. I said, the man don't come to men's meeting on time because he don't have no interest in men's meeting. I've got some more people here. They come every once in a while to men's meeting. And they don't come regular at all, just every once in a while. And then when they do come, a lot of times they just kind of drag in late. You don't have any meaning to them. Somebody said, well, my frail body, I know your frail body is always gullible for money. You're going every day riding up down the road with your frail body trying to make another dollar. What's wrong? How come your frail body can't make it out there? Well, you don't know what's wrong with me, Brother Pye. Yes, I do. You're in a backslidden condition. You're in a cesspool of iniquity. That's the thing. I do know what's wrong with you. If you wasn't, you'd be at men's meeting. Somebody say amen. If you wasn't, you'd be at men's meeting. You'd be concerned with the things of God. Somebody say, I don't believe in it. Well, you go somewhere else to man's meeting. Go somewhere else to help God. Go somewhere else, work with the program. If you had God, you'd be somewhere else working for God if you didn't believe in what we're doing here. But consequently, you don't work for God anywhere. You don't go anywhere else, and you don't look to anything else, and you don't have any other programs, which to me proves that you don't have anything going for God. Somebody said, well, I bring my offering, or I send my offering, and I don't just come. That ain't got nothing to do with it. If you give me $1 million, you need to be in men's meeting. If you send me $10,000, you still need to be in men's meeting. Don't have nothing to do with it. One man that come, you know, he gave me $10,000 at one time. He's backslid. The man's backslid. I told you that the man hadn't got right with God. A fine man, probably as fine as any man in here, maybe finer than some of you. But that didn't have nothing to do with salvation. I've had people to come to give me several $1,000s or more at one time. But that didn't have nothing to do with it. You need to be in men's meeting. You need to be with the brotherhood. Giving money isn't going to keep you alive in God. You can't just give God an offering and expect to stay alive in God. That isn't going to keep you alive in God. That isn't serving God, giving me an offering. That's not serving God. Now, I know a lot of preachers say, come on, that's what I want. Boy, you're serving the Lord. That's what really does it there. You just give me that offering. That means you're outstanding in the eyes of God. But I want to tell you, if you give all that you've got, it don't make you outstanding, not one bit. If you're not right with God, you're not right with God if you give me every dollar you got or every dollar you can get. And if you are right with God, you're right with God if you don't give me a dollar. Maybe you're giving it to somebody else. Maybe you can't be right with God not give, but you can be right with God not give to me. You might be giving it to somebody else or something else for God. You might be doing something somewhere for God. But folks, giving money ain't serving God. But if you serve God, you'll give money. So then, I'm not here to try to, as the world says, to hoodoo you. I'm not here to try to deceive you. I'm here to try to tell you that you need to be at men's meeting. You need to serve God. You need to be at church. You need to participate in some of the things that we're doing. You need to help us. You need to give us a helping hand. Not just because we're doing something to build a building, but because it's a means of fellowship where people come together and reprove one another, rebuke one another, and where they keep each other straight. Did you know that the people that I got that's the most haughty, hard to get along with, are those that don't come around and get any rebuke from the brethren? You know why they don't come around? They don't want any rebuke from the brethren. They're so temperamental and so headstrong that they can't stand for anybody to rebuke them. If you offer them just a little bit of reproof, they swell up like an old toad. And that's why they don't come around, because they know these brethren's got the backbone to do it. And they don't like it, so they just don't come around. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Fonte. See, we need to love the Lord. We need to fellowship. We need to be brethren. We need to get together. We need to have the rebukes that you're not getting and the reproof that you're not getting. That's why I have so much problem with you a lot of times in the meetings. That very reason is you don't come around the brethren enough for God to reprove and keep you straight. And then I have to contend with it when it comes into the service. Whereas if you'd stay around these brethren and some of you'd stay around these sisters sometime, they'd get you straightened out. It wouldn't take long and they'd get you straightened out. I got some sisters and some brothers that love God. And it wouldn't take long for them to get you straightened out. It don't make no difference what you do. You still ain't going to get nothing from God. I've heard a word from the Lord, folks. The Lord said to be holy, for I am holy. Be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Heard a word from the Lord, and the Lord said, ye must be born again, or you'll never see the kingdom of God. Let's sing this little chorus together. I love you as a brother in Christ with all purity, without respect to person. There's quite a number of people in church this morning, and some of them of the opinion that Brother Pike wasn't going to preach the gospel to them.
Somebody told me after service, said, Brother Pike, that was a hard place that you was in. Said, I had wondered myself about it. And talked like it done them real good when they saw it come down the home stretch. And they said, yeah, that's right. It's the way it is. It's hard, but that's the way it is. And then they knew that what I'd said was the truth. There's no respect of person with God. I love you, I respect you. But we're not dealing with flesh and blood. If I was dealing with human beings, I'd deal different. Because human beings are helpless creatures. It's caught in the control and environment of evil powers. But I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. My war is not against you as an individual. This is war in heavenly places. And we're wrestling against spiritual powers, spiritual wickedness, that which is wretched in high places. You can't believe that people are as low down in evil as they are in the sense of evil spirits. The little 13-year-old girl they just found molested, a raving maniac, a beast that'll tear. Two little blind girls, 8 years old, they found molested. One girl, 16 years old, they found dead. Another little girl in the Griffin area, just a few years old, I don't remember how many, little bitty thing, ravished by the raving maniacs of devils and demons that nothing but pot hunters, dope addicts, beer drinkers, cigarette suckers. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I know you don't like for me to say it like that, but that's the way it is. I tell you where the problem is now is somebody saying them poor, helpless people. Give them a cigarette, they can't help it. Give them a can of beer, they just can't help it. Poor people, give them a little dope, they can't help it. The devils can help it, all right. They can help it. If they would help it, they can help it. They don't want to help it. They don't want to quit it. You tell me that a grown-up man can't walk off and leave something? Can leave it if he wants to. Somebody said, but he can't help it. He just has to drink. Like the doctor told a woman one time, said, you just can't help but drink. You'll never be free from it. You are an alcoholic. I said, that's a lie. I said, you can be free from it. God will deliver you from it. God delivered her from it for months. And then she got in a temper and in a fit and went and got her something to drink. Out of temper. I said, you won't never get free from it no more. I said, you'll die in that kind of condition. She did. She died a drunkard. But she got free from it for many months and lived a sober life. There's men today that are preachers. There's people today that's been free from whiskey. They were alcoholics and they've been free for many long years and they're sober, godly men that you couldn't force to take a drink of whiskey. They die before they take a drink. Even my granddaddy that drank, when he quit it, they said he was dying with pneumonia. And the doctor told him, said, just one swallow of whiskey can help save your life. He said, if the one swallow of whiskey can help save my life, said, I'd rather die. And he died. He wouldn't take it. There are people that when they quit, they're through. They're finished. You can't tell me that you can't do it. You can do it. You can leave off with your pot and with your dope and with your evil thoughts and with your ugly doings. God said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Did you know that we've done gotten into a day to where men have cuddled themselves with the idea that they can't till they've made their faith shipwreck? And they've actually got to believing that they can't help but bash their baby's brains out against the wall. I saw a mother get into such condition, she was afraid to get around her children. She was afraid she's going to harm their children, that she couldn't just keep herself from harming the children. Don't you know that's a pitiful condition to get into? Jesus died so that you could believe. Why believe in reverse? Why accept that kind of thing? Claim God. Claim God's strength. Find an absolute. You people that are trusting in your own ability and your strength, say, oh, bless God, I don't do nothing like that. I don't have to do that. I won't do that. One of these days, you're going to be so weak and down. Fear and frustration is going to strike you, and your thoughts is going to go wild. And you say, my God, maybe I can't help it. Whew, what am I going to do?
Oh, yes, it's coming. It's coming to your house. It's coming to everybody. Oh, you'd better get God. When you get God, you can turn back and say, I might not can do it. I might not can do it, but there's a God that said it, and I believe it, and all of a sudden the waters will come down. You'll find everything stable, and you've got an absolute to anchor in. And there you go. You can handle the situation because you're trusting in Him. And brother, He won't fail you. Like the song we wrote one time, trusting in Him, He will not fail me. Trusting in Him, He'll see me through. Brother Pike, you can't talk like that. Oh, yes, I can talk like that because I done been down the trail. Praise God, you can't come and tell me I can't talk like that because I done been down the trail for many long years and I faced every one of those situations. I've been down the trail and Jesus was sufficient in every case. And you know what? He will be sufficient. He will be sufficient. Somebody said, oh, you just wait and see. You don't have to wait and see. I've already seen. He is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. God is sufficient. Trust in Him and lean on Him and He won't fail you. Okay, let's sing a chorus, can we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. Hallelujah, while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. You need to get a hold of Jesus, folks. The days are going to get darker and darker. And you're going to need Jesus. You're going to need the truth. You better start fellowshipping the truth and listening to the truth. You say, oh, Brother Pike, that could not happen to me as it happened to them people. I promise you it can happen to you. I guarantee you it's going to happen to you. It's going to seize you. It's going to come upon you. Watch and see. And only if you've got Jesus will you be able to stand. I don't care how strong you are. The greatest, the most mightiest, the most wealthy, the most intelligent has broken down. See, the powers of evil, the demon powers of persuasion, evil spirits, fallen angels that wrestle with your thoughts and your mind until you can't stand it any longer, until you're weary, until you get disillusioned, until you get to believing this, you can't believe strong enough to keep your thoughts right and to do the right thing. Oh, what a hideous, horrible thing it is to get into those places where faith is made shipwreck. But if you trust God, I'll guarantee you He won't fail you. You can turn to Him and say, I believe it because of Jesus. I believe God will do it. I can do it because of Jesus. It works. Brother Carl, it works. It works. I've done been to those places, many different places down the trail of life I've been to. It worked beautifully, folks, but it won't work any other way. Any other way. Sing it again now. So I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild sea no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe
evermore.
One more time now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest did may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. You love the Lord? Okay, let's stand to our feet, bow our heads, lift our hands up to heaven. Have you really anchored your soul? Folks, tomorrow's another day, another work day, another effort. I say again, Brother Pike is not asking you for an offering. I'm not asking you for help in the sense of my own benefit. God has more than taken care of me. We're here to help you, not that you should help us, even though some of you do help us. But we're here for your sake. The parents should lay up for the children, and people that help me, I realize that they are growing up to be parents and they are concerned about the children. The little ones, they can't do anything. They don't know any better. They haven't learned better. They have to have people to nourish them, people to help them. There's people that have the little Christ in their heart. They don't know much. They're not very old in Jesus. They haven't learned much. They haven't matured. They're just, in their heart, it's just a little babe, a little tiny Christ. And we need to help them, and we need to love them, and we need to understand them. God has blessed you with a lot of wealth, folks. Bethlehem people are very wealthy. They have everything that heart could wish for. But you know what? Jesus is what we need the most. In every church, in every place, in every country, every nation, every life, Jesus is what we need the most. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. It's the sweetest name that I know. Oh, when you get in trouble, you can call all kind of names. You can suggest all kind of things to your mind, but nothing will do except Jesus. The name Jesus. Be sure that you live such a life that you can relate to the name Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the great, loving, wonderful God of heaven and of earth. He is your hope of glory. He is your blessing. He is your prosperity. Jesus is your everything. If you don't have Jesus, if you don't love Jesus, if you don't think on Jesus, if your conversation is not about Jesus, if your plans don't include Jesus, friend, you failed. You failed. Every day of your life, whether you be young or whether you be old, you're headed for the grave. Every day of your life, you're headed more and more for the grave. You're one day nearer the grave every day. One day you're going to reach your destination. Young or old, one day you're going to reach the grave. You're going to reach your destination. That's your destination, folks. That's the end of your trail. One day all of your labors is going to be rewarded by death. And death is gullibly going to swallow you up as a reward for all of your toil, unless you have Jesus. So then let's love the Lord. Let's consider the Lord. Let's think on the Lord. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. They publish to you that there's a risen Savior. They tell you that there's a God that is alive from the dead, even Jesus, our Savior. That's why we sing the song, let's give the glory to Jesus. While we're standing here, you're thinking, you're considering, just think. Say, Lord, what can I do? Lord, what have I done? Have I done anything at all for Christ? Have I shared my substance with God? Have I shared my time with God? Have I taught my little family the reverence and respect of God? Have I done it, Lord? What have I done? What have I done with my time, and what have I done with my life? I asked this question today. I said to some of the fellows, how long have you been with me?
Some said 4 years, some said 11 years. Different ones said different things. I said, what about the 11 years before that? Where did you spend it? How did you spend it? And what about the 11 years that's coming up now? Where are you going to spend it? How are you going to spend it? The 11 years that you've spent with me, you've laid up for God if you've listened at me. If you've really listened at me, you've laid up for God. But if you're not listening at me, you haven't laid up for God. You've wasted those years that you didn't spend with me. Unless you were somewhere else living, working for God, then you wasted those years. They're gone. And folks, you know what? You can't go back and get them. And you know what? In a little while, 10 more years of your life's going to be gone. They go by real fast. You say, well, I'm young, Brother Pike. You may be young, but you're not going to stay young. You're not going to stay young. You're changing every day. Every day you're headed for your reward, which is the grave. Your years are going to pass, folks. And your youth is going to fade like a flower. All flesh is as the grass that fadeth away. What are you going to do with the remaining months and the remaining years that you have? I remember somebody the other day said, Brother Pike, I'm afraid. Said, I've been with you all this time and I could have helped you and I haven't. Said, it makes me afraid. Let me tell you, folks, you can turn away from sin. You can turn away from corruption. You can quit your evil. You can be a real man to woman if you want to. Or you can tell yourself that you can't and stay in bondage to that evil out there. That's why faith is given you, to believe that you can. And I promise you that you cannot believe that you can unless you have God's Spirit. You can't believe it. You may try, but you'll despair. But when you take God's Spirit, you'll believe that you can. And you can. By faith in God, you can. Don't ever let anything tell you that you can't. You can. So tonight, you take faith in your heart and you take courage in your heart and you don't listen to anything else. If there's sickness, if there's poverty, if there's defeat, if there's any such thing that comes to your mind or any such suggestions, you put those evil things out of your heart and out of your mind. Take courage, because you can in Jesus. Through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. You think about faith. You pray and build faith. You practice faith. You read your Bible. You do things for people and for others. And for God, things to encourage your faith. Always be doing something, contending for the faith, doing something to build up your most holy faith. While you're standing here tonight, I want you to search your heart. I'm not going to call you to the altar, but I want you to search your heart. Ask yourself this question, Lord, what am I doing? What kind of game am I playing? I know that Brother Pike telling me the truth, rude in speech, Father, but not in knowledge. I know the man has told me the truth. I know that he's told me the truth. And think on it. What are you going to do about it? Folks, what are you going to do about it? It's in your hands. When the truth comes to you, it's in your hands. Then what are you going to do about it? Are you going to spend the rest of your life doing something for the flesh and doing something for your own desire? Are you going to spend the rest of your life trying to do something for your family and never do anything for the family of God or for God? Don't you know that the devil uses that as a leech to bleed you to death? Don't you have enough wisdom to understand what he's doing? And the very reason he's doing it is because you've held back on God of your substance and of your time. So the devil has taken up all of your time and all of your substance, and he's got you bound in a web where if you'd have done for God, you would have kept a whole lot of your substance. You would have had some joyful time. Whereas the way you've done, you've lost all of it because of your foolishness. What are you planning to do, folks? You better think it over. You're not getting any younger. You better think it over. Some of you have been here with me 11 years or more. Some been here more than that. And I've talked with you, and I've pleaded with you, and I've prayed for you, and I've fasted for you, and I've talked and preached to you. I know that you know, and still some of you are not doing it. God's going to get weary one of these days of telling you, You better start conforming. You better start listening. You better start remembering. You better practice. Give heed to the things that you've heard. Incorporate them in your life. Make a change. Pull out of it. Make a change once and for all. And don't change back. Don't change back. While you've got your heads bowed, while you're standing there meditating in the things of God, I want to pray with you. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of your darling Son Jesus, knowing, sweet Heavenly Father, that there is none good but Jesus, and I as an individual stand in the judgment and in the presence of God as one that is needy, my Father, as one that's calling upon you, one that's hoping that you'll have mercy upon me, even as the others hope that you'll have mercy upon them. Standing in your presence, I greatly fear thee, O God, and I reverence thee with all reverence and respect, knowing that you're the mighty God of Jacob and of Abraham. And Lord, you could smite me in a minute. You could destroy my loved ones. You could take away all that I am, my Father. But trusting in you and believing in you and looking unto you to give your people a word from your holy throne, a word of sweetness, a word of godliness, a word of truth, a word of encouragement, a word of power, a word of deliverance. We come to you asking you to bless the people, asking you to forgive the people of their sins, my Father. Heal their sick bodies, O God, and deliver them from evil. Bless their little children and bless them in prosperity. Give them that which they need, my Father, to help them. Even the courage that go as they go from day unto day. Help them, O precious Father. Lord, they are the children of your house and they are the sheep of your pasture. They're your people. They're your responsibility. They're looking to you. They're asking of you. They're trusting in you. And I know that you will not fail them because you've never failed me. I've failed you many times, Father, but you've never failed me. Forgive me and help me. Deliver me, O God, and deliver my people. I ask you to do it. Bless little Bethlehem and the efforts that we're making here that the people can have their own little independence away from the world, that they may love one another and they may have their own little school and the things that's necessitated to life. I ask you to help them, Father, to coordinate together, to work together. And, oh God, may I never lord over the heritage of Jesus. And, Father, may I never do anything that is unlike thee. And dear God, may you ever reign over your people and bless your people. Oh God, for thou alone art the King, the great King of kings and the Lord of lords, even as in the days of Samuel the Blessed One. Father, may you reign over your people. May you control your people. May you take even this word of God in revelation of your own self to go into the hearts of the people, that you may dwell richly in their hearts and have your own control in every individual's life. Because you alone can feel their infirmities and you alone can understand them. May it be so, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name for his glory. Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus, can we? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Can you sing it again with me now? We're going to give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. And I appreciate people getting away from evil. I spoke of a woman this morning of having a spirit of hypocrisy. I noticed she got rid of it through the day, and she didn't come back with that same thing tonight. Appreciate that. People will make an effort. God will help them, but they have to make an effort. I had a brother to come and apologize to me today. He said, "Brother Pike, I'm really sorry." He said, "I let a protruding spirit get a hold of me." He said, "I want you to know that I'm sorry, my brother." He said, "I'm genuinely sorry." He said, "I know I've come to apologize." He said, "But I'm going to get away from this. Having to always come and apologize. And I'm going to quit this, get this thing behind me." And that's what I need to do. That's what you need to do. That's what we all need to do, folks. We need to do right. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? Abraham said, how much more his children? How much more his children? I'm going to ask David Durden, to come dismiss us tonight. While you bow your heads with me, while you lift your hands to heaven one more time and call upon the name of Jesus, I want you to know that I love you, I care for you, I'm praying for you, I really genuinely am. I'm praying for you. My brother whispered my ear this morning and said, "Brother Pike, pray for me." He said, "I need prayer. I am praying for you. I'm praying for you from the bottom of my heart. I'm praying for you. Some of you with diseases ought to be dead by now. The doctors saw it coming. But we continued to pray, and you continued to believe, and you continued to listen. While others had the same disease, they died with it. You're still alive. By faith in God, you're still alive. You're still going. By faith in God, because you refused to give up your faith. You refused to yield up the Spirit. You kept saying no. No, God said it, I believe it. So, God said it, how can God lie? God said it, I'm one of his children, I believe it. God said it, you're still alive, folks. Still living in the brilliance of life and the testimony of Jesus. All because you believed and refused to do any other way. Take courage in God. Don't give up. Take courage in God. It works. It's real. He's with you. He'll help you. He'll bless you. He'll bless your loved ones.